Don't worry about that. This is J.D. Douglas, and I think the date is, he said, looking at the paper, is it the 20th? It is the 19th of August, about to do an interview. And could you give us your full name, please?
Ade Shalanka.
Hi, Ade, with the Burney Ground Center, where you've just finished the run of your latest piece, which is called...
It's East End Boys, West End Girls. And I've written and directed it, which is my debut as a director.
Could you tell us what the piece is about, please?
It's about four young people, two British Nigerian East End boys, and two girls from the West End who meet at an entrance exam for a scholarship to a very prestigious school. And it's about their two different worlds colliding. The girls are from, if you like, the posh West End, and the boys are from very ordinary backgrounds in the East End. But the boys have fathers who have ambitions and believe in their abilities and have persuaded the boys, their sons, to sit this exam against the boys' wishes. And one in particular, Ollie, is so adamant that he doesn't want to change schools. He refuses to actually do the exam. But his friend, Toby, who is a bit more outward looking, finds that when he's sitting in the exam room, even though he had agreed with Ollie that they would sabotage it, he finds himself carried away and he answers the questions. And it's about what happens as a consequence of that choice.
What inspired you to write the play? Was it an idea you had before? Did something click in your head?
Lots of different things inspired it. Mainly, I'm from West London, Ladbroke Grove. I grew up in Notting Hill and I now live in East London. So I've always been interested in the differences between the two areas and the relationship between the two. I also have a son who grew up in the East End because I was living in the East End later in life, and I was interested in comparing my upbringing in Ladbroke Grove with his upbringing in Hackney. I also sent him from a Hackney state school to a private school, which is actually in southwest London, so it was partly based on that, the thinking and the ideas around that experience. And I think ultimately, it's about social mobility. One of the things that concerns me is this idea of postcodes and how young people today seem very almost trapped by the postcode they're living in. That seems to me a terrible shame. And I wanted to dramatise two young people having the wrestling with the choice of whether or not to break out of that sort of trap. Prison, you could actually say.
Is there a theme about young people in education? Your first play that I saw, Pandora's Box, it dealt with that issue about education. Is that a subject that you're interested in?
What I'm interested in is transformation. And I think drama, the drama I like at least, is always about people finding, discovering, self-discovery and discovery about things and other people. So yes is the answer, but only insofar as education seems to me the ideal transformation chamber. In Pandora's Box, as you mentioned, the drama was about a mother who was wrestling about sending her British-born child to a school in Nigeria. It could be the Caribbean, but it just happened to be Africa. And the drama of letting go. Yes, in East End Boys, we do have a similar thematic link to education, but this is a very different play because it's set in London as opposed to Lagos, where Pandora's Box was set. And Pandora's Box was a very complex, if you like, tapestry of three generations and two continents. This is much more London-centric with four young Londoners, all 16-year-olds. So it's a different attempt at looking at how people can transform themselves.
Now, I believe you directed the piece as well.
I did.
What made you want to direct your own work?
I think it's about growing as a theatre maker. I've always been interested in all aspects of storytelling. And it just felt like this was the right project and the right time to explore that side of the work. And I must say, I've been really, really delighted at the outcome. I think the cast, I was very fortunate. I had a wonderful cast. And it's probably helped me a great deal having them to work with, because it's meant my job as a director was so much easier. Mm-hmm. Luckily, again, we actually cast people who had direct insights into the characters they were playing. Didn't know this when we cast them, but one of the female leads, Bally, who's played by Jenny Eggleton, turns out to have been at a very hothouse, high-pressure London day school, public school, and really identified with her character, who was in the play. Her character, Bally, is going into a kind of meltdown about the amount of work and stuff that she has to do. And, you know, Jenny, fortunately, Jenny didn't go through that, but she was certainly privy to young people in her peer group who were self-harming, who had eating disorders, who were going through all sorts of stress to do with achieving and being high achievers and being pushed to be high achievers. Similarly, the two boys are cast of East End boys, Alhaji Fafana and Ishmael Kamara. One is from Tottenham, one is from the East End, from Hackney. And, you know, bizarrely, when we were researching the play and discussing in rehearsal, one of them hadn't actually ever been to, you know, House of Parliament and King's Road, which is what the play looks at. And we then organised a big expedition, thinking, let's do this now as an experience for us, part of the research. So some people have actually challenged me on that notion, which is expressed a few times in the play, that some of the East End kids don't get outside of their borough. Well, I can prove to whoever wants to take me on that there are young people, not just in Hackney, but in Islington and all sorts of other inner city boroughs, who don't go outside of their postcode. It's a tragedy. And I can understand why people are incredulous, but unfortunately it is the case that is the case.
Interesting that you said having the right actors help. I think it was Stanislavski who said that 90% of directness in the casting. And of course, as you know, it's into the method and all of this. It's good to see that you literally took them on that journey. In directing the piece, do you feel that you were critical enough? Do you feel, what was your approach? Because you've been the writer, I mean, when do you stop wearing the writer's hat? When you wear the director's hat? If there was something that had to be removed, were you precious about the work? How did you go through that process?
Well, it's hard for me to answer, but mm-hmm. I would say I wasn't precious at all. And I think it's true to say that because I often had the cast feed into the dialogue, for example. Now, I'm not a 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. The cast are around age 18 to 21, or 22 actually. So I was perfectly aware that they would be more in touch, let's say, with what the youth are saying. So I was absolutely receptive to their suggestions, their ideas. It enriched the work, no end. I don't think I was precious, simply because, as you know, as a theatre artist yourself, theatre is a collaborative medium. Mm-hmm. And if you're not collaborating, you're actually not only not serving your piece, you're actually, it's a disservice to the work. Mm-hmm. So I was always, as a beginner director, extremely keen to get input and insights from everyone in the team. And we had a wonderful crew as well as a wonderful cast. And again, I've been very fortunate that we've had very good, very talented people. So I've been able to call on them. I didn't actually know that was Stanislavski's quote, but yeah. I agree with him. <He's> right.
He did know a few things about theatre, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to talk about the person that is behind, you know, the writer. Could you give us a brief biography of your entry into the world of theatre?
Quite recent. I'm a recent theatre person. I've always been a writer. I was a journalist for many years. But when we first met, I was an arts journalist. I then went to study film writing, screenwriting in Hollywood. I came back to London and I worked. I did some radio writing, a little bit of TV, but more research in TV. And I came to theatre actually about 7 years ago. And my first piece was actually a piece which is now going to be my third play, my third production, hopefully, which I wrote as a short for the Talawa Writers Group, which I joined in 2008. So, yeah, 6-7 years ago. I then, at that showcase at the Young Vic, the Talawa Writers Group showcase, I met Femi Lifwodju, who was then the artistic director of Pohodzi.
Yeah.
And he then invited me to take part in his festival. So from the Talawa Writers Festival, I went to Theatre Pohodzi. They called it Theatre Delights Festival in 2008. And Pandora's Box was the piece that I presented at that festival, at the Almeida. And that was the first show that was produced 4 years later, as my first show in 2012. But in between the theatre for Hodsey, in between the Talua show, which was Man of the House, which is going to be my third play, and the for Hodsey show, Pandora's Box, which became my first produced show, I also wrote East End Boys and West End Girls, which has become my second produced show and has just finished its London tour and hopefully we've gone on an UK tour next year. So my theatre background is fairly recent and it's very much standing on my work as a journalist and as a film writer. I think my work is extremely visual and I'm interested in our story, you know, untold stories. Unfortunately, still the case that the African Caribbean story is more visible, but I think it could be even more visible than it already is. And I'm very much committed to being part of telling that story. So my work is part of Spora Stories. Diaspora Stories is my company, and diaspora, Spora means, as you know, the scattering. So I'm interested in how we fare having been scattered here in the UK.
Before I ask you about your time in America, the reason why I smiled when you mentioned Femi, I remember a young Femi who actually auditioned for Black Heroes in the Hall of Fame. He was in fact the first Martin Luther King.
Amazing. And I may have seen him in that role.
Right. And from there he got the bug to go and study drama and he went to Leeds. And
wow, so you kick-started his career. That's
well, he wouldn't give me the credit for that, but certainly that was his first professional role on stage.
That's
and he went to Leeds after to study. And I remember he came back in his first holiday and he wanted to just walk back into the role, but we'd been doing the role and I'd assumed the role of Martin Luther King.
You had?
Yeah. And I played the role and I think that he went to the director, Flip Fraser, and he tried to get me removed.
Oh, your own show, hilarious.
I don't think Femi's ever forgiven me for that.
Oh, he went off, he did his thing.
Exactly.
It was great that you founded for Hodsey because I've said before, you know, with Tallow and for Hodsey, I got my start. Mm-hmm. Had there not been any Arts Council investment in their work, I doubt I'd have been writing today.
Uh-huh.
So I'm extremely aware and grateful for the access it gave me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard still for people who don't have connections mm-hmm. to break into what is still quite an elitist business. And I know lots of theatres are making efforts to widen participation. But we see it all the time that lots of talented people maybe are put off, which is actually what East End Boys and West End Girls is about to an extent, how to be more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Young people from one part of London perhaps feeling they don't belong or won't be able to fit into, you know, so-called good schools. That was one of my ambitions for the piece, through the drama, to show perhaps young people who might be in the audience that, yes, they'd be experiencing racism, they'd encounter all sorts of obstacles, but that's not the point. The main character, Toby, sees what his friend Ollie sees, but his attitude is different, and attitude is everything. Ollie overhears a woman in the new school, in the private school, saying, "We don't want drug dealers at our school," and he finds that upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
Toby says, "Well, that's one person. They won't all be the same." He brushes it off. We live in a country where they're still grappling with racism, so we can't, I think, afford, and this is one of the things that the play is referring to constantly, is should you run and hide because you're going to face discrimination, or deal with it? Now, in a way, that's the question that was posed in Pandora's Box as well, fight or flight. And the option there was to stay away, to take the boy out of the environment that was basically killing him. The young Londoner was about to join a gang. So the answer in Pandora's Box was flight. But in this play, and in Man of the House, which is forthcoming, I'm looking at the option, if you like, to fight. What does it take to put your fist up in any situation and say, I'm going to try and deal with this, I'm going to grapple with this, try and take arms against the sea of troubles.
Mm-hmm. About America, how did you get to go so far away to study film and in Hollywood as well?
I went to USC, University of Southern California. Yes, it is known as the trade school for Hollywood. And frankly, I didn't actually, at the time, have a full appreciation of just how Hollywood it was. But it was very Hollywood. And that was great because I admire Hollywood storytelling. I'm a fan of all sorts of different film traditions. I love, you know, I know film history as thrown up some wonderful schools of filmmaking. What I like about Hollywood storytelling is its emphasis on entertainment. Because if you have any other project or ambition or agenda, the first thing you must do is entertain people. So lots of political filmmakers, I think, sometimes neglect the idea of holding people's attention. And the word entertainment means literally just to hold attention. So I'm glad I chose to go there. At the time, my interest was in writing, you know, British African stories. But I did decide I liked the kind of stories they tell. And I think it widened my horizons, actually. And I ended up going there because I applied for a scholarship, an academic exchange program, a Fulbright scholarship. I've always been quite academic, which is another reason why I'm focusing on education in my place. I love school, I love learning, and luckily I was good at it. It's not nice if you love something you're not very good at. But I really enjoyed school, and I know it sounds weird, but I actually liked exams. I was a bit like the character Bally in the play, East End Girls. I just found I was, you know, exams are basically writing, and I've always had a thing, loved writing. So I applied for the Fulbright scholarship and left in 92 for a 2-year master's program, and it was a terrific experience. It was very, you know, it was a challenging time. This was just after the Rodney King situation, and so Los Angeles was in, I would say, was in a very bad mood, lots of tension, but at the same time, it's, you know, Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. So it was a very interesting time to be there. And I gained a lot from the experience. I'm not saying it wasn't challenging, it really was. People always say, oh, well, you know, England and America, they're the same in terms of race dynamics. I beg to differ. I think it's a different thing altogether there. And it was a bit of a shock for me, if I'm honest. I was quite shocked at the I suppose, coming from the Rodney King situation into LA. They said 1990s LA was like 1960s Alabama. The spirit of the South had lifted itself up and traveled to LA. So that gives you an idea of just how tense things were. It was not an easy place to be in, but at the same time, it was fantastic to be living, eating, sleeping, storytelling, which is what we did. We'd wake up in the morning, go to a lecture, write some scenes, go and watch some scenes, go and read it, other people's scripts. It was just heaven, absolute heaven.
How old was your son at the time, and how did you balance being a mother to your son and being a student at the same time in a foreign land?
Extremely hard. In a foreign land, extremely hard. But that was also part of the ambition. I wanted to go through what my parents had been through. So they came to study in England, and I wanted to go through that journey. It was almost like repeating the cycle, but in their case, they stayed in the UK. In my case, I wanted to reverse the cycle by returning, which I did. So it was a diaspora journey, which I was almost ritually going through a rerun of my parents' generation. So I came back to undo, in a way, what they had done, if that makes any sense. And I went with my son, he was 2 at the time, he was still in nappies. But the school had nappies and, oh, sorry, the school had nurseries. So he was in the USC nursery, and I met people. It was a bit difficult, but I found a way. And he actually came back with an American accent, calling me Mommy. And he went to a very good school, you know, Denzel Washington and Goldie Hawn and all these Hollywood people. I didn't know this, but the school, a friend of mine recommended, turned out to be a really Hollywood school, with all the heads of the studios. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. So in a weird way, him being there also connected me to, you know, the work I was doing. It was it was a good experience. We lived in Santa Monica.
Okay. Sounds lovely. What's your next project?
Well, the third play is going to be Man of the House, which, as I say, was the first play I've ever written. It was first written as a short for the Talawa Young Writers Festival in 2008 at the Young Vic. And I've been developing it, and I'm actually really, really keen on this one. I love all the work I do. This one is my first, so it's like my baby, my first play. And also it really does connect to, as I say, this exploration of what are the variety of responses to the challenges we face as African Caribbean people in the UK, in the diaspora. And it's about often mothers having to bring up families on their own. We've got lots of wonderful fathers, but sometimes there are situations where women find themselves on their own with their children. What do you do when you have maybe a young man, a young male, who's finding his voice and his own identity? And the play is called Man of the House, because it's about a power struggle between a mother and her son. On Friday night, do you remember somebody said at the front of the... I don't know if you stayed for the post-show discussion?
I certainly did. I was waiting for an interview at the time, so
oh,
I think I did
yeah,
wait.
Got, sorry, I apologise again.
Oh, was it for you? It was for you. Oh, sorry. I can't remember. I knew it was so far away.
For you. There were so many people rushing around. But anyway, on Friday at the post-show, a woman at the front said, talked about her experience with, you know, as I think she works with young people and the issue around helping the young guys to find their way to manhood, really. So, Man of the House is a really exciting project. And it's going to be the third in my series of plays about, I suppose, parenting and education, yeah. But more on the parenting side of this final play. But there are lots of other plays, and I also write screenplays. And I have a project about Phyllis Wheatley.
First,
she was called an African American, or she is now called an African American. But at the time, there were no Americans. This was before the War of Independence. So she's the first African Briton, actually, to publish a book of poetry. Because at the time, all the Americans were British, as you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a period piece, and it's the first time I'm writing about another era, so I'm excited about that. It's still a diaspora story. It's about her time in London. Phyllis Wheatley came to London in 1772, and the piece is called Phyllis in London. So I'm developing it, and I've recently had a screenplay produced as a film in Nigeria. So lots of exciting projects in Nigeria, in America, and in the UK.
Well, we'd like to wish you luck with all your future endeavors. And I can tell our readers definitely will be looking out for the play. And if you want to see something that really rocks your boat, this is the play to go and see. Thank you.
Thank you very much, JD. It's lovely to have this chat with you.
She said blushingly. Thanks.
I hope that helps.